This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I am one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
You like that little dramatic pause
when
I did
you
there?
Forgot your name?
Yeah, I was like, do I say Tim or Tom? I forget.
You want me to call it Doctor?
Well, that's the result of over a decade of taking on these false personas.
Oh, yeah.
So that nobody can ever find us.
It's very confusing that your name in real life is Tim and my name in real life is Tom.
I know, but it made it easier to remember it in the beginning, at least. We had just seen that movie, Call Me By Your Name, and we were like, that sounds like a pretty good idea. Yeah. Let's call each other by our names.
Yeah, we'll apply it to the podcast, and it'll obscure our identities.
That's what we took away from that movie. I've never actually seen that movie.
I've never seen that film either.
And now Armie Hammer's a real creep, so...
And that's Timmy Chalamet?
Timmy Chalamet's not a creep, as far as I know.
Yeah.
As far as I know, he's still America's
number
nice
one
little
boy. Yeah.
Yeah. He's making, they're coming out with that new Dune movie.
Dune.
Yeah.
Yeah, starring Sting.
Bigger Dunes.
Yeah. Tom.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Hooray for Hollywood episode.
Yeah.
I got stars in my eyes.
Uh-huh.
But first off, should we dedicate it to little Timmy Chalamet, Hollywood's best boy?
Sure. This episode dedicated, I don't know if he's in any movies this summer. Any
Dune
big
2!
Ones. I don't think that comes out this summer. I think it comes out in the winter.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Timmy Chalamet's in like 100 movies a year.
Yeah, but they're not always big movies. I'm sure he's in some movie that comes out over the summer, but you know, not a big blockbuster. That's not the kind of guy Timmy is.
He's not in that Wes Anderson movie. Hey, spoilers. We'll figure it out.
Oh, I think
he is. We'll figure it out when we get there.
You know, he used to have a YouTube channel where he modded like Xbox controllers, and that was what he would post about.
That's cool. Like, yeah. I like when people have hobbies outside of their.
Well, I like when you realize. Like, oh, this guy's a real guy. Like, and he was trying to make it in Hollywood and he made it. And unfortunately, that meant leaving behind his YouTube channel where he modified Xbox controllers. But, you know, careers take sacrifices sometimes.
Yeah. Timmy Chalamet, we salute you. Yeah. And I hope this episode lives up to your expectations.
And hey, let's hope you get a mention at some point in here. Tim, we're doing summer movies 2023, summer movie preview, the Entertainment Weekly. Remember Entertainment Weekly would do that?
Yeah.
You would get it at Blockbuster Video. They'd have it. They'd have like the double issue on the rack, the summer movie preview.
Yeah. And now we've displaced Entertainment Weekly as America's favorite source for movie news.
Yeah.
And puff. Pieces.
We do a lot of puff pieces on this. Honestly, every week we're asking each other some very softball questions.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We've rehabbed our images. People, don't look it up. What happened? Yeah.
They think I'm Tom. You're Tim, and they'll never find out the truth. I went to the movies this past weekend, Tim.
Tom,
the movies are back.
So relevant.
Yeah.
A theater boy.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Reynolds goes and sees, I'm going to guess, the newest Marvel Cinematic Universe film.
The new Guardians of the Galaxy movie. After I did not see Ant-Man Quantumania in theaters, I think the first Marvel movie I did not go to see in a theater.
Did you see it on, let's say, Disney Plus?
No, I don't think it's on Disney Plus yet. It's available for rental.
Okay. Did you... I'm winking here.
Yes, I rented it, of course.
Did you enjoy it?
I was like, I can't wait to give Disney $20 to watch a movie that got bad reviews that nobody liked. No, I didn't really enjoy it. I thought it was pretty bad.
That stinks. It's Paul Rudd.
Yeah. Who,
you know.
Who's great.
Formerly America's Hollywood's best boy.
Right. He finally, after he hit 50, he aged out of being the best boy.
Yeah. You're not a big fan of Evangeline Lilly's acting, but you are a fan of her views,
of her
right?
politics. Yeah. Yeah. No, and honestly, she barely even acts in this movie. I think she had like three lines, even though the movie is called Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Right.
But that wasn't that good, but the new Guardians movie was pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of the Guardians movies.
That raccoon is a little off-putting.
No, I like Rocket. I like the movies. It's just like they're not I've never really been like real into space stuff, I guess. So especially in comics, like I was kind of
Buzz Aldrin was here, he'd punch you in the mouth.
Yeah.
And he'd be right to do
he
it.
He would be. And I would never dare to say that I'm not into space stuff instead of in front of Buzz Aldrin.
I wouldn't say much in front of Buzz Aldrin.
Yeah, I just listen.
Yeah, he's got a lot of wisdom to
him. Yeah, hey, what really happened up there on the moon?
He passed, right, sadly?
I think
we lost Buzz in the last, like, I want to say 18 months.
Yeah.
You think anybody ever had the gall to tell him to buzz off?
No, there was that guy that told him the moon landing was fake and he punched him in the face.
I know, but that's different than buzz off.
I'm sure somebody at some point said, hey, Buzz, why don't you buzz off? And they probably got punched in the face just like that guy. But anyway, I went to see, the Guardians movie. And I consider that kind of like the start of the summer movies. Like that, that's the biggest release as of... I guess the Mario movie was a big release, but that was in April. That's spring.
Tom, I'm going to get my freaking ass kicked by a 93-year-old, very alive Buzz Aldrin.
Yeah, I thought he was alive.
He's going to be like, you thought I was dead, and you postulated that someone would have the gall to tell me to buzz off?
You're going to be dead. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to strangle you with my...
Replace his blood with my young...
Yeah. I'm gonna strangle you with the strength I gained from the moon and didn't tell anyone about.
Bash my head in with a moon rock.
That'd be pretty cool. Remember those people had sex on those moon rocks?
No.
Some people stole a bunch of moon rocks. I don't know if they stole them. I think they just like went into the vault and took them all out and had sex on them.
Who were these?
I think like NASA
employees.
Who
are these people?
Yeah,
just sickos over there.
I mean, and I'm sure when you see a moon rock, you're probably like, for a second, you're like, oh, cool. And then you're like, it looks like a rock, more or less. Yeah. I've seen rocks like this.
You work for NASA, Tom.
Yeah.
Probably have a big brain. Mm-hmm. Brain that big probably has capacity for a lot of perverted thoughts.
True.
No, the regular common man and woman would never... even think
probably couldn't even fathom some of it.
Oh, you know what? You know what? You know what? An exciting thing to do would be fornicating on moon rocks.
Yeah,
disgusting.
which I believe are razor sharp.
Hmm.
But yeah, you know, some people like as Anthony Kiedis said, like pleasure spiked with pain.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, Tim, we're talking about the summer movie season, which I just said is starting. It started, or I'm saying it started.
All right. And these are Hollywood pictures.
Yeah, big Hollywood pictures. Although some of these I feel like are movies that I'm like, I never even heard about this.
Tom, that's because must-see TV doesn't exist anymore, so they don't play commercials on television for like... Here's the next big movie that's coming out.
I guess.
You only know about the movies that they like cover on your like
blogs
where it's like,
your
blogs. Where it's just like, hey, guess what? We've run 80,000 articles about this movie that comes out in a month. You know the plot, you know every surprise there.
I stopped reading a lot of that stuff for that reason, because it was like, oh, this is just like ruining everything. I go in to see a movie and I already know everything that's gonna happen.
Batman's gonna put bang these two goons' heads together.
Yeah, but I mean, that I don't mind being spoiled, because that's still a fun thing to see.
It's a surprise every time I see it. I know it's coming, but
I'm like, oh no, how's he gonna take on two goons? smash their heads together. No, I was thinking about this the other day. Tim, can I go on a slight tangent here for a minute?
I don't want to go off on rant here.
You know what brand I'm a big fan of nowadays? Ooh. You'll never guess.
L.L. Bean.
No. A food brand.
Chef Boyardee?
No. Planner All Fruit.
Say it again.
Planner All Fruit.
Planner All Fruit?
Yeah, don't you remember their commercials?
No.
Can you please pass the planner all fruit? And then the guy goes, can you please pass the jelly?
Oh, that's that?
Yeah, and everybody flips out and like a lady faints.
Yeah. All right.
For anybody that wasn't alive during these commercials, it was basically a company selling like fancy jelly.
Jams, maybe?
Jam. To the point where it was called planner all fruit. And if you dare to call it jelly, that was an affront to these fancy rich people. It was an aspirational product.
Oh, yeah. And I know that. I know this.
Yeah.
I know this.
But anyway.
I'm looking at pictures of the label.
It's a good jelly. But I was thinking about, do they still make like commercials for jelly for TV?
I don't know.
Right? And like this was, I think, like a fairly big budget commercial. It's like, really? Like, how much? But I guess you convince somebody like me to get into Planner All Fruit, I don't know, 35 years later.
Were we just, like, so stupidly impressionable? Like, that one freaking Grey Poupon commercial with the two Rolls Royces, right? Makes me, to this day, I go into a grocery store and I was like, no way I can afford Grey Poupon. And then I'm like, only $3.39? Well, I can't afford not to buy this thing.
This is the same mustard people with Rolls Royces eat.
Yeah.
To the point where somebody in a Rolls Royce knows that another Rolls Royce would have Grey Poupon in their Rolls Royce. Mm. Yeah, I guess in the like 80s and 90s, there were a lot of commercials, food commercials that were very like aspirational and just tried to like... sell the idea of luxury around very normal, mediocre products.
Yeah, and a couple of five-year-olds really took it to heart and believed that these things were...
And are now brand loyal.
Yeah. You could, like, at this point, I know these brands are already doing this, but, like, for most millennials, if Grey Poupon's like, okay, we want to target the millennials, they could price that thing... the jar of mustard, like $45, and we'd be like, well, that's what the rich people think. Yeah, and it's worth it.
Put a Supreme logo on it,
and
the people won't think twice.
I don't understand Supreme. I like people have explained it to me, and I just like I get it's it's like hype, it's marketing, but it's also like, but wait, it's a T-shirt, right?
Mm-hmm.
Look,
not always. Sometimes it's other things.
Yeah. And then Neil Young was photographed in it.
Oh, really?
Point. Yeah. I don't understand how any of this works.
I had no idea. Neil Young was such a hype beast.
He's a loner, Tom.
No, he's married to what's her name? The lady from
Daryl
the Banks.
Hannah.
Yeah. And the lay from the things, what I meant by that was Splash.
Splash.
Tim, this weekend, there's actually three movies coming
out. Okay, ready? Ladies and gentlemen, we now present to you the 2023 summer blockbuster rundown dedicated to Timmy Chalamet.
America's
Hollywood's
boy.
Number one boy.
Hollywood or America?
I guess he's America's boy. Because Hollywood sets the tone for America.
That's true.
Who wrote all these movies if all those folks are on strike?
Yeah, it makes you think. Probably ChatGPT.
Yeah.
So this weekend you've got, I find it funny, two Always Sunny actors movies coming out head-to-head. Charlie Day's Fool's Paradise and Glenn Howerton's Blackberry. Well, like Charlie Day wrote and directed Fool's Paradise too, which unfortunately looks like it's getting bad reviews.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well,
but Blackberry's got good reviews.
What's the Charlie Day movie?
Fool's Paradise.
Fool's Paradise is number one on my to see list.
Okay.
Because it looks nice.
Yeah. I'm going to wait for more reviews before I decide.
Before you decide to pirate it either way?
No.
I'm going to go pay for it.
Uh-huh. And not even see it.
It looks like a throwback, like a Charlie Chaplin movie.
I mean,
something.
I hope it's good, but...
Maybe something the whole family can enjoy. I'm going out to see my parents this weekend.
Uh-huh.
Maybe we all go out to a movie.
Maybe. This Blackberry movie got very good reviews.
It's called Blackberry.
It's called Blackberry. It's about Blackberry.
The food that you put in your oatmeal?
No, Tim, the old phones that that businessmen used to have. You never had a Blackberry, did you?
I did have a Blackberry.
Oh, you did? I never had one.
Yeah, it was...
It was like a work one?
It was a work thing, and I hated it.
Yeah.
But now...
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, there was something, somebody from the film described it as a phone that aimed to make you more productive,
mm-hmm.
but didn't try to take your attention.
Yeah.
Which is like, that's what I want. Mm-hmm. I want something functional that's not also using like... slot machine and casino tactics on me to make sure that like I'm always on it.
Yeah, but the only things it could really do, I mean, I guess like the later ones could do more when they like had to start competing with smartphones, but like the big thing was that it could do messaging and it could do email.
Yeah.
And it's like, but those are the two things that when I'm out and about, I don't really want. I mean, messages, sure, but like email, it's like, no, I don't want to like have to sit down and be like, all right, let me tap out this email.
I mean, if you're a businessman, Tom, you're not a businessman.
That's true. But I can use my iPhone.
Tom, you know
that.
What? I'm not a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a businessman.
Wow. That's great. I'm kind of surprised this is getting
a
theatrical release.
And not just dumped on Hulu or something.
Yeah, right? Like, it seems like a Hulu movie. Yeah. I can't imagine it. I mean, I think it's cool that they're releasing in theaters, but I can't imagine it's going to be like the $100 million opening weekend for Blackberry.
Where did you source these descriptions that you provided to me?
These are sourced from Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay, so... Rotten Tomatoes says, based on a nonfiction book profiling the rise and fall of the once popular Blackberry mobile phone company, this cheeky biopic stars Jay Baruchel. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, sure.
And Glenn Howerton is the founder and former CEO of the company and tells the remarkable story behind the world's first smartphone. Okay, mm-hmm. So we got that.
Yeah.
We got Tetris.
Mm-hmm.
We got Air.
Yeah.
What else? There was
just a pinball movie that came out about I think maybe the inventor of pinball or like the guy who popularized pinball.
Okay. Tommy.
Yeah, presumably Tommy.
I mean, that was quite a feat.
The original pinball wizard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Deaf, blind, and dumb, but you could play mean pinball.
That last part is kind of. Gotta say that about him. Yeah, and people are like, oh, these are just, love letters to capitalism.
Yeah.
But I think they're all just like lies, like stories that are like lies.
Well, the
they're like, you know a thing.
Yeah, the Tetris movie definitely was like, had like chase scenes and stuff. And it's like, nah, that kind of stuff happened when they
played the chase scenes. Was it like, doo, 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 doo,
no, that would have been awesome.
Doo, 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 like an orchestral version of it or something?
No. Or if it were just like a ripping, distorted guitar.
Oh, hell yeah. I love metal covers of video game, like 8-bit video game music.
Yeah. I forgot to mention this on our Zelda episode the other day, but...
this guy's not going to like it.
What?
There's a guy talking all over town who's just like, when did this podcast become a podcast about video games I've never played? It's like, give us a list of the video games that you played, and we'll be
Solitaire,
sure.
Solitaire, Minesweeper.
Yeah, probably freaking Galaga.
But the Zelda theme song, they originally, it's in my notes, but it was like a different classical music piece was going to be the main theme. And apparently, like the day before the game was due, they found out it wasn't in the public domain like they thought. The composer came up with the Zelda theme song in one night. I'll stop there. I don't want us to get sued.
Tom, on a scale of 1 to 5 Chalamets, how excited are you for Blackberry?
I'm a 3 on Blackberry. 3 Timmies for me.
They say it's a cheeky biopic. What does that mean? Is there going to be a lot of like, stuff like where they're going to be like, wow, this technology is so great, it'll never get displaced.
And then
like
sure.
They'll be like, it'll be like, there'll be a reference to Apple or something. And it's like, Apple, that failing company that.
Yeah. I in the trailer, they show like the characters watching the iPhone keynote. So yeah, there's stuff like I'm sure that's what all the cheekiness is, which is very annoying in stuff nowadays. It's annoying, but it's also like you like have to reference it, you know?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Also out this weekend, Tom. Hypnotic.
Now here is a movie I have not heard a single thing about this movie until today when I looked it up. And that's how you know it's got to be a very good movie.
But this is the thing,
but it's
Tom,
right up my alley.
Where are we going to find these movies?
Yeah, the movie theater.
We got ad blockers on all the YouTube videos we watch.
No, I subscribe to YouTube Premium.
I actually do too. And yeah. I got to say, this is not a paid endorsement, but I ain't. Endorse it.
Yeah.
And I hope they pay me for this.
And so you paying them.
It's great.
Yeah.
And you can watch the Cocomelon Wheels on the Bus all the time, and they don't even put one ad on it.
You get YouTube Music, which stinks, but.
Oh, I didn't even realize that. Okay.
It stinks, but it's still got all the music.
Ben Affleck stars in this sci-fi thriller directed by Robert Rodriguez. About a detective who inadvertently becomes entangled in a vast government conspiracy involving a series of high-profile heists when his daughter goes missing. It's sci-fi somehow.
Yeah.
Vast government conspiracy. Yeah. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Heists.
Yeah.
And then it's got a Taken twist to it.
Yeah, and you got Ben and Bobby in there.
Ben and Bobby. Spy Kids is Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah. Well, I was reading a thing where they were pointing out that like this is only like, I don't know, maybe like the second Robert Rodriguez movie that's like fairly like straightforward, I guess, like not, you know, some Creighton, not like Grindhouse or the Spy Kids movies, like, you know, he's done very not experimental things, but, you know, like weird things. And this is like, there's like a pretty like cut and dry, you know, like a sci-fi thriller movie, not the kind of thing he normally makes.
Yeah, you know, I saw this. I was reading it. I was like, Ben Affleck, I'm in. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, Robert Rodriguez. Yeah, love him.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever seen a Robert Rodriguez movie.
You haven't seen El Mariachi?
No.
Yeah, it's good.
I haven't seen Desperado.
Yeah, also good.
I haven't seen his segment of Four Rooms.
that, in fairness, I haven't seen either.
I did see From Dusk Till Dawn. Enjoyed it. Never saw the Spy Kids. Sin City. I saw that.
Yeah.
Did not care for it.
Mm-hmm.
Did not care for Sin City.
I liked it.
And I never saw the Demi Lovato Confident music video that he directed.
I've never seen that either. I think this movie is also getting bad reviews. Hypnotic.
Right.
And the fact that seemingly there's no marketing behind it is, you know, troublesome.
I'm watching a trailer right now. They made a trailer for it.
Well, if they made a trailer, then it must be good. Could you not watch trailers for the movies that we're covering?
I'm trying to get the vibe of this.
Okay, and what are you getting?
It looks like gritty.
Okay. Well, we love gritty movies.
And it's here. I've just been informed it's a Robert Rodriguez film.
Okay.
And now there's a SWAT. There's
Tim,
a heist.
All right. Next week. We got another big, a heavy hitter movie coming in. Summer blockbuster.
Wait, hold on. Can I talk about Ben Affleck for a second?
Sure.
He stars in Hypnotic.
Uh huh.
This guy's been busy as a beaver. This guy's been busy as a Chalamet.
He really has. Yeah.
He's in all these movies. Remember, he was in that movie Air.
Yeah.
And he directed it too.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He's in this Hypnotic movie. Do you remember, like, a couple months ago, there was like a sex movie that came out on Hulu?
Oh yeah,
with
yeah.
him and his ex girlfriend,
yeah, Ana de Armas.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
And it was like, what? And I don't know. I feel like he's turning up in a lot of things.
Yeah,
he's
and he married
rubbing
Jennifer.
Lotion on his wife's butt.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the paparazzi pictures.
His ex-wife Jennifer Garner was in the new season of Party Down.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure he probably had a little. Maybe he had to like take the kids a couple of times because she was busy.
I don't know if he's allowed to see the kids, but he seems like a good. Tom.
Yeah,
we're a pro Affleck podcast.
Oh, till the end.
Okay. Till the day I die.
I mean, like, he's the kind of guy that, like, no matter what. Like, he could do something real bad, and I'll be like,
probably
"Come
has,
on,
yeah.
He means well."
You'll be the guy defending him.
Yeah, he's getting a lot of shit lately. I feel like because he has like a resting miserable face.
Yeah,
and people like there are all these articles that are like, "Oh, look at how unhappy he is with Jennifer Lopez." It's like that's just what he looks like.
Yeah. He's a curmudgeon.
Yeah.
Man, imagine he, like, you know, he aged into, like, an Ed Asner style guy.
I could see him doing that.
Yeah.
I could see him aspiring to that. All right, Tim. Next weekend, Fast X.
The X stands for 10.
Yeah, the 10th Fast and Furious movie.
The X is shorthand for and furious. You know, like in the olden days when someone would just sign with an
with
X and that would be their name?
I think people did that when they know how to write.
Yeah, well, maybe the people who made this movie don't know how to spell furious.
Maybe. But the newcomer in this... Oh, so Dwayne Johnson is not in this one, by the way.
Right.
Because of bad blood. But Jason Momoa is, and I feel like they're kind of, I feel like that's the problem with these movies now. I think the last one had, or one of the more recent ones, like Idris Elba was the bad guy. And they're like, they've kind of gotten to the point where I feel like there are just so many big stars in these movies. There aren't like big, like Idris Elba and Jason Momoa are big stars, but they're not as big as like Vin Diesel, I think.
Vin Diesel... Is he a big star?
It's a big star, Tim. He was in Guardians of the Galaxy,
yeah,
too.
Groot.
Mm-hmm.
He was the Iron Giant. He was in Boiler Room in 2002.
Diesel a big star?
I mean, besides the Fast and Furious movies.
That'd be like, oh, is Joe Biden the president besides being the president?
Of America? Is he the president of any other country?
Yeah. He doesn't need to be in other movies.
Okay.
I've never
Here's
seen
question.
A Fast and Furious movie.
Have you?
I've never seen one.
I saw the first
one
in theaters.
Which is insane. They'd be up my alley.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll try.
Sometimes they drive the cars through the alleys.
What?
Yeah. Right up those alleys. I can't keep track of the dynamics of Hollywood stars,
mm-hmm.
but I thought...
I devote 4 hours a day to it.
I'm sure. I would think Jason Momoa and mm-hmm. The Rock would be tight.
Yeah.
Like that Jason Momoa would be like...
Oh, I'm not going to be in it if my bro
Well,
Dwayne
I think like
in it.
Publicly he'd be like on like he'd be like, hey, just want to support my bro. Hey, like he'd be like, hey, Rock, my brother. You know, he'd be like, my
yeah.
brother. You know how once Hollywood guys become like that level of douchebag,
yeah.
they start calling people brother?
Yeah.
I think he'd be like, hey, my brother.
Yeah. Well, be careful. Hulk Hogan used to do that too, and it was cool when he
No,
did
he'd
it.
Say brother.
Yeah. Listen here, brother.
No, he'd be like, hey, my brother.
Yeah. That's Jason Momoa, not Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's your point that you're surprised that Jason Momoa would be in it because you imagine he has the kind of relationship with Dwayne Johnson where he calls him my brother?
Precisely. Okay. In public.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes, I don't know what kind of bad blood they have.
I could also see Jason Momoa. I think it's fine. I think Jason Momoa is probably like, oh, look, man, I didn't know if I should do it. And he's like, hey, listen, man, you do you. You know, you got to look out for number one.
Right. The Fast and Furious movies are interesting to me because there's this whole meta narrative on top of it, right?
Uh-huh.
Because, like, you know, that poor gentleman.
Paul Walker died. Yeah.
Passed. And then, like, his character kind of got like a send off in the movie,
yeah.
But it wasn't really because like
yeah,
it had nothing
they,
to do. And I think they didn't kill off the character, whatever. And
no,
then there's
they had his real life brother stand in and then use computers to like put Paul Walker's face on his brother's face and just had him like drive off. But with the implication that he was gone.
Right. But there was like, from what I understand that film, there was like, and even like, an epilogue or like post-credit or mid-credit sequence. We're going to get letters for this. Where like the cast like sent him off. Like,
yeah.
And like even some of the, like the villains in
oh,
it.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah. There's a part at the end where it's like, I think it's Vin Diesel singing a song and he like pulls up alongside him and he like nods at him. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, there's all that. There's like the Vin Diesel versus the Rock stuff that like, there's just so much like, I feel like it's like, this is why I also can't get, or I couldn't get into a lot of hip hop, you know,
you just can't keep track
15
of
15 to 20 years ago. It's like, I know this guy's mad at this guy, and that's what this song is about, but like...
Yeah, and they used to be good friends.
Yeah, I have to like keep track of like
they used to
everybody's
be enemies, but
personal
now they're good
lives
friends.
And like these relationships to understand the songs, and like that's the way I feel about these movies, and it's just like, hey.
I don't think you have... I think you can just watch these like extremely dumb movies and be fine with it.
Well, I the only way I could see myself doing it is something like Very Fast Cars in it or something.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Auraframes.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Auraframe.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Auraframes are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Auraframe, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, Tim. We might have to do two episodes.
Yeah, no, this
is
part one.
Okay, part one.
Who are we going to...
What?
Dedicate the next one to Army Hammer. America's least favorite boy.
Yeah. Did you watch that that documentary about him?
I couldn't. If you showed me three guys and told me one of them was Army Hammer, I probably wouldn't be able to pick
What if the other two were people you knew? Then would you be able
one of them was my dad.
One of them was your dad, the other one was your son, and one was Army Hammer.
One's in his 70s, one's 1 year old, and one's
like
roughly
your age.
The age of Army Hammer, as I understand it.
It was crazy. That guy's a crazy guy, and he's got a crazy family, the Hammer family.
Yeah. Well,
which
you know,
I mean,
people begged his dad not to hurt him. His dad, MC.
And his dad.
I was just kidding. I was pretending that his dad was MC Hammer.
I get it. But his dad's name, I think, was also Army, but he was like responsible. Like he had something to do with Arm & Hammer. They like bought Arm & Hammer or something. Something weird. I forget what it was, but there was like a weird connection between Army Hammer and Arm & Hammer. The famous baking soda. Man, if you're another company making baking soda.
Yeah, get the fuck out of town. Yeah.
You got an uphill battle. Just listen, we're talking about brand loyalty and Planner All Fruit. Arm & Hammer baking soda. That's the only baking soda I get.
You ever use baking soda not to just suck smells out of your...
Yes, I use
refrigerator.
It somewhat recently.
You got to use a different box for that, Tom.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Not the smell sucking box.
Yeah, because then it's just going to taste like the smells.
Yeah.
No, we used it somewhat recently. There was like a colossal catastrophe in our apartment where.
Tell me more.
Where somebody, I won't say who, it wasn't me though, dropped like a 32 ounce. Glass container of olive oil and it shattered and went everywhere and
slipping and sliding for weeks.
Oh my, well, just like couldn't get it up. And then I thought, well, let me look it up. How do you clean up olive oil? And the solution was baking soda. And like, holy, in 5 minutes, it was cleaned up.
Oh, wow.
It just sucked it all up and just, it was just like dried little pellets of baking soda.
And you eat that.
Then you can eat those and they taste like olive oil. You put those in the oven, 350 for 20 minutes. Delicious.
I mean, it is pretty delicious. It went for all the dirt on your floor.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it adds character. Tim, May 26th.
I've been eating a lot of food off the floor, Tom.
Well, you got a kid now, so yeah. I'm sure your threshold for what you'll accept as clean.
It's going to be wasted if it's thrown on the floor.
Well, you probably see him. He puts all kinds of things in his mouth,
he's fine.
He's sick
every other week.
He's currently living inside a bubble, but other than that. Tim, May 26th.
Does that date sound familiar to you, Tom?
No, why?
Does that sound familiar?
Is that your wedding anniversary or something?
It's
is it your birthday?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Tim, on your birthday.
This is what I'm doing on my birthday.
On your birthday,
I'm going to see About My Father.
I'm going to take you to see About My Father. In something of a thematic cousin to his role in the Meet the Parents franchise, Robert De Niro, Bobby, teams up with Sebastian Maniscalco in this comedy about a man who brings his immigrant father to meet his fiance's well-to-do family, only for cultural misunderstandings to erupt in presumably hilarious fashion. So it's like Bobby De Niro's son is marrying like a real like waspy rich lady with like waspy parents, and De Niro's in there and he's like, what is this, what's going on here?
That's very good. Yeah. Yeah, did they just say it's like a spiritual successor because it's like essentially just like the same plot?
I think just like I think it's kind of the inverse, where like Robert De Niro is going to be the fish out of water.
Okay.
In the like he meets these family.
I wasn't really listening to the synopsis. Well, I was looking up how old Robert De Niro is.
79.
Yeah. So when Meet the Parents came out, mm-hmm. he was mid-50s.
Yeah.
You're practically in your mid-50s.
I'm not practically in my mid-50s.
It's just weird to think about, is all.
It's not weird. Anyway, it's Meet the Parents, but a different parents.
Why don't they make a remake Meet the Fuckers, though?
Well, this is kind of a remake of Meet the Fuckers. But I mean, actually, it does sound like it's pretty similar. Because the fuckers, they were like very hippie, right?
I think so.
Because it was...
I didn't care for Meet the Parents, didn't care to follow up with Meet the Fuckers to see what's going on.
I saw part of it somewhat recently. It was on TV, like over Christmas, I think.
It's on TV. Okay, so you were at
someone else's house, and the TV was just on all day, and it was like we're gonna, TBS is showing all the Meet the Parents,
all the Fuckers movies. Yeah,
but it's Barbara Streisand and Dustin Hoffman,
Dusty.
As the Babs and Dusty as the parents, but they're like very liberal and like hippie kind of, and this maybe is a little bit of that. I don't know, but it's going to be a great movie. Tim, did you know that people may have seen this in the news? Bobby just had a new baby.
Yeah, 79 years old.
Yeah. Well, not the baby. The baby's zero.
Oh, it's not a Ben Button situation.
it's not. Bobby's not pulling a Ben.
Okay.
But I don't think they're married, his girlfriend, and I know you have a lot of problems with that.
Jeez.
He met on The Intern.
Net.
No, The Intern, the movie you like.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's married to Anne Hathaway?
No, it's not Anne Hathaway. It's the Tai Chi consultant / Tai Chi instructor in the movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Ah, you old dog.
Anyway.
All right, wait. Tom, we didn't do this. How many Timmies do you give about my father?
Oh, hopefully 5 Timmies. Hopefully it's a great movie.
I mean, what in terms of your anticipation?
Oh, I'll give that a 4.
Okay.
A little bit of a wait and see, but I like Robert De Niro in comedies. I like Arnold Schwarzenegger comedies. Like, I like guys who aren't comedy guys doing comedies.
At what point is Robert De Niro a comedy guy, though?
At the point where he makes more comedies than dramas.
I think we've reached that threshold.
At the point where
this is the original bad grandpa we're talking about, Tom.
At the point where he's more famous for his roles in comedy.
Well, I think you ask Timmy Chalamet or anybody younger than him.
Maybe. Yeah, same thing with Arnold. Like, he's a lot of people that are fans of his from the 90s didn't see his 80s movies that were not as like family friendly and as
I mean, that was
comedic.
Me before I watched all those for a now defunct podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew him from Last Action Hero and Kindergarten Cop.
Yeah, which, it's great movies. Versatile actor.
Kindergarten Cop, Tom, mm-hmm. I think is the movie I've seen the second most in my whole life.
What's the first most?
It's got to be Home Alone.
Yeah.
I watch Home Alone like several times a year.
I thought you were going to say The Passion of the Christ.
It's too long.
Right. You can't get in that.
I would love to
viewings.
Get more viewings in. I'd love it so, but it's also exhausting.
The thing I like about Arnold Schwarzenegger is he really disappears into a role.
You hear about this new documentary?
Yeah, I watched the trailer the other night. It looks good.
I can't imagine anything more boring than
what? More boring, Tim,
than something that he
I think he has very little say in this. It definitely isn't just like a way to rehabilitate his image.
It's a puff piece worthy of the complete guide to everything.
I think he's I think he is genuinely like sorry about like being shitty when he was younger.
Yeah, we are all sorry about being shitty, but like I don't know. Is he going to give back that kid?
Give back that kid? What do you mean? You didn't get the kid. His child he had out of wedlock.
I mean, I just feel like it's just like I feel bad about bad things I did. Great. Yeah.
Well, I know he's
he says California very funny.
California.
California.
They
had a field day with that when he was the governor.
I think you mean the governator.
What?
Yeah, you ever hear that one?
Oh, because he played the Terminator. Yeah.
Tim coming out against. About my father. This is going to be maybe a doubleheader for you or Sophie's Choice. The Little Mermaid, May 26th. Disney tapped Rob Marshall to helm its next live action.
Oh, it's a Rob Marshall joint?
Yeah, who's he?
The guy, probably. A director, it sounds like.
Adaptation, live action adaptation of classic animeville with pop star Halle Bailey. As Ariel, I didn't realize she was a pop star. I thought she was just an actress.
I thought she just played one of the X-Men.
Melissa McCarthy as Ursula, Javier Bardem as King Triton, David Diggs as Sebastian, and Awkwafina as Scuttle, among others. First off, this movie I thought came out years ago.
I feel like they've been talking about this movie since...
Well,
since I was a boy.
Well, it is interesting because...
I'm not talking about the cartoon. I know the cartoon exists.
Former America's Best Boy, Jacob Tremblay, is that his name?
Yeah.
Tremblay?
Because of all the trembling he does. Because he plays scared really well.
Yeah.
It's like, this boy's always trembling.
Well, it's weird because I saw a interview with him and they had a picture of him and he's 16 now. And looks like...
Are you like, ugh.
No, he's not. He's not a weird looking guy or anything, but like unrecognizable, I think, for the most part.
Really?
I wouldn't have.
This I gotta see. Is he in the film?
He plays Flounder.
Uh-huh.
So he just has a voice. But in this, he said something about, like I say, he's 16 now. And when he did the voice for I think it was said he said, like, he saw it recently. And he was like a little nervous because he had like never sang in something and he sings in this. But he was like, oh, luckily I did that voiceover work when I was 12 before my voice changed.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, oh, shit, you did that 4 years ago? That's a long time.
I mean, they gotta then make all the animations over it, Tom.
Yeah, well... But I don't know. With the Marvel movies, they make the animations the week before the movies come out. But watching the trailer, I just don't understand why they didn't just like make. I mean, maybe it's just because they're showing like a lot of the under the sea stuff in the trailer or whatever.
Tom, I got news for you. Most of the movie takes place under the sea. There's a whole song and dance about it.
No, a lot of it takes place through. Once she gets like her legs and she can't talk and goes up and meets the prince or whatever.
When's the last time
the
you watched
gets a boner?
The Little Mermaid? The 1990s.
A long time ago.
I watched it probably within the last 18 months.
Okay, with your son or just...
This is when I thought, that was also the time frame I thought Buzz Aldrin died. I read the terrible news about Buzz Aldrin and thought, I gotta watch The Little Mermaid. No, I was watching it. Full disclosure, there's a movie podcast I listen to called Blank Check, and they were...
Don't mention, especially other movie podcasts. On
yeah,
this
I know.
Movie
we are
podcast.
The definitive movie podcast.
Don't give other people ideas out there.
And they were going through a certain directing team's
work,
and that was one of them.
Oh, okay.
So I watched it.
Was it all animated stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
I stopped watching because after like watching The Little Mermaid, I was like, what am I doing? I don't want to watch these movies.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I can appreciate that it's like a really good kids movie.
Yeah, but... I think I watched that and The Great Mouse Detective. And I was like, I'm 40 years old. Can we stop?
From what I saw of like the trailer and stuff, I kind of don't get why they didn't just make a computer animated version. Because when you're
what
watching,
they said about the Lion King, too.
Yeah. Because when you're watching it, it's like none of what I'm looking at is real.
Right.
I think they wanted Halle Bailey to be real, but it looks like it's like, ah, we didn't get the right angle. Just make a digital double of her and you know, I don't know if they even like put her face on it or what. But like the CG just looks bad.
Yeah.
And it's like very realistic, like Flounder looks like a fish, yeah. and stuff. It's I just don't understand why.
Yeah. Here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while, a movie comes along that is not for me.
Yeah.
And also, I feel like is executed poorly.
Right.
But also, there is an unrelated to that shitty backlash by a bunch of the biggest pieces of shit in the history of the world.
They cast a black actress as Ariel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's just like, hey, this movie isn't for me, and it isn't good. Based on for you know, I think reasons that are, you know, defensible that I feel, or it doesn't look good.
Yeah. But then you get lumped in with,
and it's like maybe it's best to just be like, this doesn't. This has nothing to do with me.
Right. It just doesn't require a lot of your.
I don't need to weigh in on this. I think the 2016 Ghostbusters is another example of this. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you know what?
It's fine. Yeah.
They exist. Things are not for me. Five Timmy Chalamets Little Mermaid.
You're very excited to see it. Yeah. I'm kind of surprised now that I think about it, because like they've been, you know, doing all these live action. There was just a live action Peter Pan on Disney Plus that apparently was not good either. Right. Like all these movies are very dark.
Like literally
dark. Yeah. Like you can't see what the hell's going on. And same thing with this. Like I remember as a kid, like in The Little Mermaid, for nothing else than like, oh, it's bright and colorful and has fun.
Liked being like, what's under those seashells?
As a kid, I was like, this woman's beautiful.
I mean, she is beautiful.
She is. That's part of the story. But I'm kind of surprised with
Prince
all these.
Prince Eric's going to be seen with an Uggo.
I'm kind of surprised with all these like live action updates that Disney's been doing that they don't just do like computer animated versions of these things. Like, why not just do that instead if they want to update it?
Why not make something new?
Yeah. Hey, well, obviously,
I got a bunch of screenplays that I've been shopping around Hollywood.
But I just don't understand. Like, at this point, I forget what the first one.
A lot of original mermaid stories that they should make.
I think maybe Jungle Book was the first live action adaptation they made.
Yeah.
But like since then, they've just been like full speed ahead. And I feel like they've gotten worse and worse and people don't like them. They don't do well, but it's like they put all their eggs in the like, we're going to remake every cartoon in live action.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they do like
okay or well enough.
I still think they make like hundreds of millions of dollars in profit.
Yeah.
Which is like more than this show has made even over the last like 15 years.
But they should make more things for me is what I'm saying. Anyway.
Yeah, there's not enough stuff made for...
Yeah, Disney doesn't make enough stuff for me.
42-year-old to buy toys.
Tim, we're getting into June now.
Okay, June gloom. That's a thing, right?
No, I don't think so. Words don't rhyme either.
No, it's a slant rhyme.
Okay. The Boogeyman, June 2nd. Did that scare you?
Finally made.
I feel like there actually was another Boogeyman movie. Another movie called The Boogeyman.
June gloom is a term for a weather pattern that results in cloudy, overcast skies with cool temperatures during the late spring and early summer.
And what about The Boogeyman?
I'm too scared to look it up.
What if you search for it and they show you a real picture of The Boogeyman?
I'll die of fright.
Yellow Jacket star Sophie Thatcher. I think she's the one that plays Juliette Lewis's, the young Juliette Lewis.
Never seen the Yellow Jacket.
You've never seen Yellow Jacket?
What am I going to subscribe to? Showtime?
Baby,
a second tier premium cable? Screw you guys. Oh, are you pirating it, Tom?
She leads the way in the supernatural horror film about a high schooler and her younger sister grieving the death of their mother, whose lives are threatened when a malicious presence shows up in their home.
Probably the Boogeyman.
Yeah. Were you afraid of the boogeyman as a kid?
No, I've never been clear on what the boogeyman is.
You know, I was never clear either, but that didn't stop me from being very afraid of him.
You know what we called the boogeyman?
What's that?
The
Roger. Roger.
Roger.
Yeah, had a
name. No. There is a truck that I don't think they drive this truck around town anymore in the suburbs that in the summer would shoot out pesticides.
Oh, yeah. I remember those. Yeah. And they would announce, like, stay indoors.
Yeah. They
close your windows.
They blanket the neighborhood with smoke.
Yeah. With poison.
With poison to kill all the bugs. And, you know, you're supposed to stay inside. I think they mailed all of our parents. And what did we do as kids? And our parents didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
Was like, hide in the bushes. Because, like, the guy driving the truck, the boogeyman, would, like, if he saw kids out, he would stop it. So you'd
hide. It's fucking poison.
Yeah. So you'd have to hide in the bushes. So he'd spray the smoke. And then when he's a little bit down the street, after he sprayed the smoke, you get up and run around in the smoke and pretend to...
Pretend to what?
I don't know that you were in smoke.
Tim, you know how bad that shit must have been that in the fucking, like, 80s, they were like, oh, don't breathe this in.
I know. I wish I didn't do that.
Yeah, I wonder what...
I wonder what will become of it. I'm sure something horrible.
Yeah. Now, I was going to say, like, one of my only hopes for the afterlife is that, like, you get a lot of stats.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And, like, I hope that they
If you had the choice of, like, see your stats and go to hell or don't see the stats and go to heaven, I'd kind of be like,
what kind of stats are we talking? Everything? Because I'd like to know, like... you know, if after you die, it's like, that thing that killed you, you'll never guess where that came from. It was when you were 9 years old and you put this thing in your mouth as a joke. Like, over the next, however many years, it was just festering in you. And then when you did this, oh boy, that didn't help it at all.
It's just St. Peter reading out of his
St. Peter
book.
Reading out a list of new things to regret. That's my idea of heaven.
3.5 Chalamets for the boogeyman.
Yeah, I'd probably say, I love a good horror movie.
Do you?
Yeah. What do you mean, do I?
What's the last horror movie like that you've enjoyed, like modern horror movie?
Oh, I watched this movie.
Don't say Halloween H2O. No, that came out 23 years ago, Tom.
Who Invited Them? With Ryan Hansen from Party Down.
Yeah.
And it was about, it was one of these, it was on
Shudder.
Yeah, Shudder. One of these great Shudder movies that's like 80 minutes long, takes place in one location. And it's basically like a couple, like a fairly rich couple, I think in LA, like having a house party, this new beautiful house that they bought, and slowly realizing that there are like two people there that nobody knows, and they claim to be the neighbors later on. But like, yeah, I won't give it away.
They're
but
not
like
the
a lot
neighbors.
Of
yeah,
a lot of stuff happens, and it was great. And like, I'm trying to remember, it was like a rare horror movie too, where I don't think there was really, again, I don't want to spoil anything. I forget if there was any gore and blood, but there was definitely not any in the majority of the movie.
Right.
It was just kind of like a suspenseful horror movie, which are the kind of movies I like.
Yeah. So you like suspense films.
Yeah. But I like suspenseful horror, I think, the most. Like, I don't like, gore porn type things.
Yeah.
But I like regular porn, yeah, and regular gore.
You like real life gore.
Yeah, I like Faces of Death, kind of stuff.
No, but you got that scanner, so yeah, you can be like, oh, there's an accident.
Yeah,
near
and
me.
Then I go and film my own.
Yeah. Do you remember that Shudder movie that came out during the pandemic?
Oh, yeah.
It was like 45 minutes long or something.
Yeah, with all the people on like a Zoom call.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was so scary and so good.
Like, I thought that movie was cool. Mm-hmm. I remember you were just like, that was scary. It like broke my wife. And I think it was also like the pandemic was still going on. And
oh,
they,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Filmed it like over deep. Zoom. And like, I think it was like, hey, let's get some vulnerable people like in this situation and like show them this.
Yeah.
And like that'll really fuck them up.
Yeah.
I wonder like if you watch that
get
now.
Let's get a bunch of people who are trapped in their homes and make them afraid of their homes.
We got time for a few more, right, in part one?
Yeah. But shout out to Shudder. Great service.
Yeah.
Making great short movies. The Boogeyman. Oh, same day, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, June 2nd. I'm not even going to read the, you know, it's a follow-up to Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse with Miles Morales Spider-Man.
Right.
You saw the first one?
I did. I watched it on a plane.
Oh, okay. That's the way to see it. This new one looks great. Like the story looks great. It looks like they're also doing like even wackier artistic things with the animation. I actually thought the story, I like the story a lot. I think like, I guess for me, these movies, any like superhero origin movie drags nowadays. Cause like, yeah, he becomes Spider-Man. Like, let's get to that part. But the art style of that whole movie was just insane. Like such cool stuff.
Yeah. Are we getting multiverse fatigue yet?
I'm sure. I mean, we're neck deep in the multiverse saga, Tim.
I just feel like here's the thing about the multiverse. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, we can tell all these fun stories and also like remove all the stakes from any of the stories that we tell, right?
Yeah. Well, Tim, in the multiverse, there's another version of you that thinks these movies are great and loves them.
I liked Into the Spider-Verse. I thought, you know what I thought? I thought the screen was a little too small. I couldn't really tell what was happening.
Right. A little small, low resolution, a bunch of scratches on it. But yeah, I'm looking forward to Across the... I think Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse might be my favorite Spider-Man movie of like all the Spider-Man movies.
Even more than Spider-Man 2?
I haven't seen Spider-Man 2 in a while. I'm going to
watch
that again.
Also for the Sam Raimi miniseries. Uh-huh. Even more than Spider-Man 1.
I mean, Spider-Man 1, I remember seeing Spider-Man 1 in a movie theater and walking out and being like, holy shit, they like actually made a superhero movie.
Tom, if you, after being brain poisoned by CGI Marvel movies where they like are just like stuffing in like all these storylines and setting the stage for all these, you know, whatever crossovers moving. You go watch Spider-Man 1, 2001, 2002,
somewhere
2002.
There, yeah.
And you're just like, there's nothing going on in it. Like, it is such a simple, streamlined movie, and it's just so nice. And it's got your favorite guy, his conduct. You love James Franco.
I thought you were going to say Willem Dafoe, because I love Willem Dafoe.
Willem Dafoe, it took me a while to warm up to Willem Dafoe.
Yeah.
But now I like him.
I watched a new movie with him recently that was disappointing. I think maybe it was called Inside.
Oh, I started watching that one where he's the art thief.
Yeah, like a cat burglar.
Yeah, I heard good things about that movie.
It's really good. It has a disappointing ending.
Does he get outside? No spoiler.
I'm not going to say what happens, but it's a very cool concept of basically like a cat burglar, art thief guy who is working with a team that brings him via helicopter to like this penthouse apartment of like, I don't know, like an art dealer or art collector, somebody very rich with a bunch of very expensive pieces of art. and you know he's gonna steal them, but the like security alarm goes off and locks him in, but like a bunch of things kind of go haywire, and essentially he's trapped inside this penthouse apartment, huge apartment, but he can't get out at all. There's no water, like the there's some reason why like the water's turned off, and you know, just like whatever, it's you know, some billionaire's apartment that has, you know, 30 homes, so this is not a place he's at all the time, and he's just trapped in there for like a while, at least weeks, if not months, the movie takes place over.
Oh wow.
Very unsatisfying ending, I'll say.
Sorry to hear that,
Tom. But otherwise pretty good.
My thing about Willem Dafoe, I think one of the first things I saw him in was Boondock Saints.
Oh yeah, your favorite movie,
Tom.
Uh-huh.
Even when everybody was into that movie, that was like the first movie I ever like bucked the trend and was like, guys, you're wrong. This movie sucks shit.
Yeah.
And like it's cheesy, and like Willem Dafoe's there. He's like a crime scene investigator, right? Mm-hmm. But he's like conducting classical music as he's.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this movie sucks. Everybody in this movie sucks. And it took me a long time to warm up to Willem.
He was just there for the paycheck.
And I was just like,
you ever see that movie about the guy who made Boondock Saints?
Yeah, Overnight.
That what it's called? Yeah, that was good.
And then there's all this stuff. It's a documentary about the bombastic asshole that made Boondock Saints. Yeah. Who thought he was the biggest genius ever.
Yeah, he thought he was like the new Quentin Tarantino.
Right, and overnight success. Mm-hmm. But also, like, you go back and, like, all of his complaints were about Harvey Weinstein being a piece of shit to him. And, like, he got hit by a car.
Oh, yikes.
At, like, a premiere, like, I think in Texas or something. And, like, he's like, Harvey Weinstein sent that car to like drive up on the sidewalk and take me out. And like in the when you see that movie in 2008 or whatever, you're like,
oh, Hollywood whatever. Nice guy Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, whatever. You're a psycho. Like Harvey Weinstein would never do something bad.
Yeah, and now we know not only the bad things he did, but like the extents he would go to like get revenge on people and stuff. So like that does kind of track, I guess. I think that's going to be it for part one of the big movies. I'm doing something with my hands.
You were doing it. Like the cover of David Bowie's Heroes.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was supposed to represent.
There's a new Bowie documentary on HBO Max.
Moonage Daydream.
Mean to watch.
And also. That was playing in IMAX because like apparently it's got like trippy visuals to it. Nice. Like it's, and it was like, I think it was like almost like one of those laser shows at the planetarium.
if you're not high, they'll give you something on the way in.
Yeah. But like, it's kind of like watching Avatar on your TV at this point.
Yeah.
Like, should have seen it in IMAX.
Yeah.
Just like when I turned on Gemini Man, and I was like, why didn't I watch this in its original?
And it's very hard to get it in 60 frames.
Yeah.
You can get 60, but I think it was in 90 maybe when it came out.
It was like too real.
Yeah. Anyway, if you like the show, check out tcgte.com for more information, I guess. Links to our social media and a bunch of other stuff. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Tom Reynolds. You can follow Tim at Your Pal Tim.
Thank you. You saw that I was taking a sip.
Yeah. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/complete guide. Hey, if you like all this industry talk, you'll love the book we're reading on Books the Podcast right now on Patreon. It's called It's Not TV, about HBO. That's not the name of the book. The name of the book is It's Not TV, and it's about HBO.
The book is about HBO, and that's the title. It's Not TV, and the book is about HBO.
Yeah. Go into your local bookstore and ask for that by name. And you get all the back episodes of Books of Podcasts and a bunch of other fun podcasts. Patreon.com/complete guide. out of these movies, which one are you going to make an effort to go to the theater for?
We got Blackberry, Hypnotic, Fast 10, First X is how I read that, About My Father, The Little Mermaid, The Boogeyman, Spider-Man. That's it. That's all we got to. Let's throw Transformers Rise of the Beasts in there, because we're not going to want to talk about that next
week. I want to talk about Transformers.
Okay, we'll take that out.
Why was that going to be the movie you were going to make the effort to see in the theaters?
No, I think, Tom, I know what yours is going to be. Mm-hmm. Mine is going to be Hypnotic.
Well, you got to go see it this weekend, because I think it's probably going to only be in theaters one weekend.
Ben Affleck, Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely probably the movie. I'll wait till that's on
Heists.
On demand based on the reviews, but I'll watch it as soon as it's on demand. For me, it's probably that or About My Father. If About My Father gets good reviews, Tim, we're going out for your birthday. We're going to go see About My Father together.
All right.
We could get the bet. It could get like glowing reviews. I think we'll still be the only two in the theater.
Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
Funny guy.
Funny guy.
He seems like he has a real sense of humor.
He does. And he's a good actor. I'll give him that. And he's got working semen at 79 years old.
Impressive.
Yeah, not bad.
I mean, semen doesn't go bad. When it's inside you.
All right, we'll see you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.